This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Huh? Cough button was down, buddy. Don't count.
Barry, obviously. Andrew. And myself, as we take you till 4. Hmm? What are you, AJ Jr. over here with your little burp fest?
I don't know what happened. It's got very burpy.
He didn't hold back.
I just put, yeah, but I'm not crass and crude like him. I'll push the cough button and burp in Andrew's ear.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He had just a fantastic joke on you. Huh? That's the first time I've ever laughed at an AJ joke. It was the text message when you had said, what do all these places that have testicle festivals have in common? And he texted us and said, they're all places Barry's done comedy.
Did you see my response?
No, I did not. No. Let me check that.
Now I'm going to respond again.
Okay. And he said, Joel's going to steal that joke. Well, see, the thing is, too, is that was a joke from earlier in the day.
Where, that was a callback. Yeah.
So that's
funny. Yeah, see? That's what you get.
Don't care.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground on the show. A lot of you listeners aren't even aware of it because we've talked about PJ Walker.
Not.
We've talked about the Texans. Talked about a lot that's going on. The other thing, let me ask you this. Now, both of you guys chime in on this one, but this was weird. They had Scott McClellan on Channel 2 the other night doing a one-on-one. And he was talking about how they are constantly getting shipments and they've streamlined what they're going to do. And he didn't know how it was going to go over with the people, but he thought was hoping it would be okay if they said instead of like 8 different types of bacon, they've limited it to 2. Or, you know, Andrew, you may be a fan of the Greek Danone yogurt vanilla. But they might not carry that brand, but they'll have Greek vanilla yogurt. You guys okay with just, you know, a limited amount of brands, but the product you're looking for?
Look, I'm on a budget already, Joel. It doesn't matter to me what the brand is. As long as it fits my budget, it's going in the cart.
Are you, do you buy like Equate stuff?
No.
Dr. Thunder?
No, it's more whatever the HEB general brand is. That's what I'm throwing in the, in
okay.
the basket.
So if they have a sale on, what was that fruit you were trying to bring in last week?
Jackfruit.
So if they have a sale on jackfruit and we can get Nick from the Legion to send you a good price on some testicles, you're good?
Anything for content, right?
Well, and protein.
And hey, nothing wrong with that.
Greek yogurt, and I'm sure the testicles are in that ballpark. Are you good with that, though? So it's basically, it's kind of like going back
particular.
To the days. It's not. I am, too. Because I was going to say, it's almost like generics, but it's not. And then we're going to carry cola. We just might not carry the brand of cola you want. And the other thing I thought of you on was the other day I'm at Kroger.
Don't say it.
All the diet soda was missing.
Yeah.
All the regular loaded up to the gills. But it, like Lisa drinks Diet Sunkist. No chance.
What?
She loves it. She loves Diet Sunkist.
Really?
Yep. And so I had to go to the Shell gas station and get her a couple of 16-ounce bottles until she can order it online through Target. Because we had mentioned this, because the sodas themselves are manufactured here in the United States, but the saccharin and all the sweetener is mass produced, I guess, in China.
Yeah. They make everything.
Mm-hmm.
They are the source of a lot of stuff that we consume. I don't like the idea of running out of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And every time I go to the store, I have to stock up. Now, everybody else is making runs on toilet paper. I'm making runs on Diet Coke. I have a plethora of 12 packs at the house currently. Yes.
And I think the other thing that's we said, like if you're looking for toilet paper and things and you're going to all the grocery stores, you're missing out on going to Office Depot, Office Max. That's the kind of sleeper that people didn't know, the pro tip, where they have it. And just like people don't think about getting 12 packs from the convenience store. The gas station, they only think about getting the individual bottles, mm-hmm. but a lot of them, they have the 12ers, and you know, it may be not as reasonably priced as Kroger, but it's not going to be overpriced, and you can get them.
At least they have it.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, and the other thing is you don't want to speak up on the fact that they don't have Kellogg's Raisin Bran, but they have Raisin Bran at HEB because at this point in time, if you step up, if you start speaking up on that, they're like, oh, you're an elitist like that. You got to have the Kellogg's version. But yeah, I'm with you. I can be picky about it.
Well, one thing I did do was load up on like snacks and stuff. I tweeted a picture of all the snacks that we had bought. It was a lot. It was even more than the one we bought snacks for Hurricane Harvey. Like, I was a little embarrassed by how many different horrible things to eat we had.
Yeah.
It already. And then
I had to ask Lisa what it was though. $200 on zebra cakes?
That was a joke. I didn't spend $200.
I didn't know what it was, and then I saw the picture and I go, "It's a Little Debbie snack?"
Yeah. Zebra cakes are legit.
Never heard of it.
Oh, really? Oh.
You?
I've heard of them. I just
You guys have never eaten a zebra cake?
Yeah, back in like middle school.
But, well,
okay. Well, you didn't need to.
He dated you on that one. I would say that if I'm going to splurge
that was like
on
3 weeks ago for his
like
young ass.
Hostess or, but I don't think it would have been for a zebra cake.
I'm telling you right now, you need to get on the zebra cake train.
And the gist of a zebra cake is just the chocolate and vanilla?
It's several layers of deliciousness.
Is it just chocolate and vanilla? Like it's I see that it's like a vanilla coating with chocolate stripes?
It's made with zebra skin. No, I don't know. I don't know what it's just a
What's
cake.
What's the taste? Well, you know
like
the flavors.
A sweet.
You're not Rudy
like
Gobert.
Sugar. It tastes like a cake.
You're not Rudy Gobert. You know what it tastes like. Tell me. I mean, what are the flavors involved?
It's a cake.
With what flavors?
It tastes like a zebra. I don't know. It just tastes sweet. When you eat a cake, I guess it's vanilla.
You've been running around tasting zebras? I mean,
look, man, these are tough times. You got to do something with my income. Okay, I gotta earn
a
buck.
You don't have to put your head up a bull's ass to see a T-bone, but you can taste a zebra if you're bored.
I'm trying to earn a buck in any way possible, Joel. I got bills to pay.
Well, a buck is a deer.
Don't judge me. Oh my God, I don't
know why. Not a zebra. I'm just
gonna do this when we're miles apart, too.
Yeah, I hope to. Oh. I hope to hear you punching walls. That would be a satisfactory day for me. That would be fantastic. No.
Again.
Fantastic.
No, that I joked, but I went to the store and spent $200 on mostly just crap food.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't mean to. I was going to run in and get a few things, and that was the whole having to wait in line. And yeah. I was like, you know what? This is no longer the time where you just run in for one or two items.
No, yeah, it's dumb.
So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and stock up. So I just bought bags of chips and zebra cakes and nutty bars and M&Ms.
Is that picture of the line you showed when you were waiting in line?
That was the line for HEB.
What the hell were you, a farm and fleet?
No,
it looks like you were outside with a barbecue wire cover. And I'm like, where is he?
It's a HEB. They had us lined up in there. I don't know.
Outside?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. At 7:30 at night on a Friday. Yeah.
And that's the other pro tip, by
Times
the way.
Are tough.
Like yesterday, go right before closing at the Kroger. Boy, right in, right out. And they still had plenty of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Because everybody was like, oh, because when we checked out after going in the morning, the lady, the checker said, no, you're at the right time because all the shelves are stocked. I go, yeah, but there's 20 deep in every line and there's only 6 registers open and I'm going to waste 2 hours of my day. It doesn't make sense. You just want to go in and out. And if they don't have it, okay, so be it. Maybe tomorrow. But. And it happened out. We worked out yesterday that you could just get everything you needed and get in and out. And if you
That's
use
good.
The self-checker, then you know they don't count how many you got.
You're not limited.
Yeah.
That's good.
Don't scan them all at the same time either so that they don't go, oh, you just scanned 4 of those vegetable spaghetti dishes. Nope. I scanned 2. Then I did something else. I said 2 more.
Look at you. Yeah. You little rule breaker.
Yeah. So basically, you're not going to use this time to diet and say and – You're just going.
I wanted to, and I still do. And that's the thing it's weird because I'm eating like I don't have a choice. I'm eating so bad, like I don't like. There's no reason for me to be loading up on all these horrible food items and then eating them. Like Saturday, you would have thought that we were full fledged in the middle of martial law the way I was eating snacks and just hunkered down in the house, and then it dawned on me. I'm like. Why am I doing this?
Well,
I don't have to do this. I'm just doing it. I'm using this as an excuse to give myself diabetes. I don't know why I'm like, just go out and run and eat a salad, you fat ass. Why are you?
Like I said to Nick when you and Nora were in New Mexico, and I go, he's got a whole grocery cart full of junk food. Yeah. And he's in New Mexico. I get it if he's at home and you can't get anything anywhere and you're like...
At the time, my sister-in-law called us when we were leaving. And she said, hey, you guys might want to stop because I just went to stock up. Shelves are empty. Nothing at the HEB in front of our house. And then we stayed with my stepmom's sister. It's complicated. In Fort Worth on the way. And she said the same thing. She was like, yeah, here in Fort Worth, shelves are empty. So I was like, well, we better stop at one of these little small-ass
towns.
That's
when you went on the beaver hunt.
In the middle of New Mexico.
To find the Buc-ee's.
No. So we stopped and got stuff that wouldn't perish, you know, overnight in
so
the trunk.
So between that and what you got this weekend.
$200 more of snacks. Now, I did buy some stuff. Like, I bought turkey meat. And because instead of getting ground beef, we get turkey meat because it's a little healthier. So I bought stuff like that. And I bought, you know, some bacon and eggs and just some random stuff. But I just loaded up because I was like, I don't want to have to be waiting in line at the grocery store.
That's the most demoralizing thing is even it is. If the store stay like open, you'd be like, God, I don't want to go and be there for 2 hours.
I feel like I'm in a communist state or something.
It's bad.
I'm just like, I'd just rather hunker down and eat Nutty Bars until I just pass out from a diabetic coma. So I did. I just bought a bunch of snacks.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Remember we had, because you were
talking about... Well, you saw the picture, right? Did you see the picture I tweeted of all the snacks?
The New Mexico trip?
No. Yeah, you didn't.
Oh, no, and I did see... I had to look at what a zebra bar was or whatever. Mm-hmm. Zebra cake. You had a picture of it.
No, I had a picture of all the snacks we bought.
But zebra cake was a part of it, because I was correct. Like, Lisa, what's a zebra cake? And then I looked at the picture, and I go, oh, wait a minute, it says Little Debbie Zebra Cake.
Yes. God. Look at Francisco. He said, come by my store, Barry. I got you at Kroger. Tons of Diet Coke. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, tell him to put some on the side for
right?
Us.
I'm going
right
to load up now. My back seat.
Yep.
I'll do it.
Just let that ride.
So good. I'll be singing this all
day
now.
R.I.P. Kenny Rogers on a Monday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I told her someday if she was my girl, I could change the world
with my little song. This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
I broke the law and I used a gun, broke the Ten Commandments one by one.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, boy. The final hour continues of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, myself, we miss Nicholas as the producers are on a schedule of 8 hours at a time. So you're only going to get 2 days of Nick this week.
That's sad.
I don't know what you're...
I'm jamming,
I don't know this song.
This is just... It doesn't matter. It's Kenny Rogers. He can sing Happy Birthday, and I'd be like, yes! Happy Birthday,
hey, can you
bitches!
Talk about what? PJ Walker?
Okay. See?
Please. Just curious if you get to some sports stories.
Pay attention, people.
Like that. So we've covered a lot of ground. If you've missed any of it, ESPN975.com. On the front page, you can go to the top bar, toolbar, and you can find The Usual Suspects. Click on that. Menu comes down. Catch up on what you missed. While you're there on the front page, you download the app. Then you don't miss any of the ESPN shows ever again, and you're in good shape.
Do it.
So there you have it. Some of the highlights of the day that the International Olympic Committee and Head Dick Pound has postponed the Olympics, finally, after that was one of the remaining sporting events that hadn't been adjusted. The Patriots have cut Steven Gostkowski, their kicker, after 14 seasons.
Wow.
They've brought in an old face in Brian Hoyer as well to possibly replace Tom Brady.
No Brady, no Gostkowski. They're definitely tanking to get Trevor Lawrence now.
Well, if they're going to stick with Hoyer and the kid from Auburn, Stidham, you got to believe that. And there are some Patriots players coming out and saying, look, we believe in Stidham. He could be the guy to lead us. Yeah, lead us to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Unless they make a trade for you know, whether it be an Andy Dalton or a Cam Newton or someone like that, you got to believe. And I'll tell you this, one of the 30 for 30s I watched, and it kind of leads into this article that came out on ESPN, but I watched the Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
If ever two guys have succeeded more while not ever being friends, it's those two guys.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this show.
Yeah, I thought about it early. But, boy, oh, boy. They put them both in the Giants locker room. They put them both in just across the table from one another. The uncomfortable moments.
Really?
Of them just, like, biting through their tongue. And like, Parcells at one point going, I mean, I'm just not going to comment on that. And he's got these big old fake teeth now, too. So he talks a little differently. But he's like, I'm not going to talk. I don't think it's going to help either guy. I don't think we should talk about that. And then there was another one where right in the middle of it getting really dicey between the two of them, the one camera goes out.
Uh-oh.
And Belichick goes, I think that's a sign. I think when a camera goes out, if you guys would have got it, then it was meant to be. But because the camera went out, I don't think we go back and do that. I just think that we should leave it alone.
Wow.
And you could tell, like, how dicey it was. And I say that to also say, because, you know, you can kind of draw your conclusions about Belichick based on the press conferences and all this other stuff. But Seth Wickersham is a writer.
That's a made-up name.
If you want to call it a pen name, I won't disagree with you. Seth Wickersham wrote a story that you can find on ESPN.com that is worth your time. And it basically kind of chronologically goes through how we got to this point with Brady and Belichick. But one of the things that he touches on, which was really interesting, was at a certain point in the last 2 weeks, Brady picks up the phone, calls Robert Kraft. They live close by, says, I'm coming over. I need to talk to you. Kraft is under the impression he's coming over to say, I'm coming back. I'm going to re-up one more time. And instead, Brady basically says he's leaving. And in explaining it, he says, think about loving your wife, and for whatever reason, there's something, her father, her mother, that makes life impossible for you, and you have to move on.
Mm.
It just spells it out, man. It's like, okay, for all that we wanted to think, oh, these two guys were harmonious and all the championships and everything like that, it kind of seems like this Parcells-Belichick thing where they won together, but I don't know how much love was shared. I mean, I see him and Brady and Kraft kissing on the cheek and,
well, sure,
and being like, and winning a Kraft Super Bowl, has do said that. Father-son.
Yeah.
But Belichick in the mix of all that is different.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. That, though, not surprising, because when you think about the size of the ego you have to be as good as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and even Bill Parcells, there's a lot of... I mean,
I will say this.
There's a lot of ego. There's a lot of, and I'm going to use a word that you think I'm making up but cocksuredness. Like, cocksure is a word that means, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Pornhub?
No. You're.
Well endowed?
You're.
I don't want to say I'm well endowed, but my cocksuredness is right on point.
I was like, I should use another word. And I was like, nope, I'm going to use it because I'm an adult.
for this segment, right?
But, you know, you have to be very confident.
Sure.
And sometimes at a level where it's like, becomes almost cocky.
Sure, in a very unsure time in a lot of cases too. Yeah. Where a lot of people are doubting you and you got to stick to your ways when a lot of people are thinking you're crazy.
Right. And you're when you get to that level, there's a ton of ego involved. There's a ton of I don't know the right word, but so it doesn't surprise me when you have these kinds of personalities all achieving at a very high level that can't get along. That doesn't surprise me at all. What surprises me is they made it work as long as they did.
Sure. Well, but success breeds that. Like, you can endure a lot more when you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also kind of encouraged it. Because when you read the whole article, there were signs throughout all – after the first championship was one thing. But there were signs after the third, the fourth, where Brady was letting little nuggets go about hitting around. It's not as harmonious as you might think. And the other thing that the documentary brought out is people forget Bill Parcells was one hell of a successful coach.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he won with the Cowboys and turned them around quickly. He won with the Jets and turned them around quickly. He won with the Patriots and turned them around quickly. And he won two Super Bowls with the Giants.
Yep.
And his coaching tree was unbelievable with the guys he had, too. But they said, you know, even when they – it was interesting because a lot of it was they were highlighting the meetings and things like that. And, like, he really went out of his way when he got Belichick to join him. I think it was in the New England – to go to New England the first time. And he based – Belichick, who obviously has no personality at all when he does press conferences, was like, yeah, we used to have meetings, and just so that he would have the ammunition he need, I'd show up late just because I knew he'd make it. You know, he'd do it. And then Parcells would actually laugh because Parcells was such a stickler on all these things, and he thought – he went so hard to get him that he decided he would be the guy to screw with him this time because he never would otherwise. Mm. Because, like, the Giants players said the first time they saw Bill Parcells, they go, what sport did you play? They're like, there's no respect there. Mm-hmm. There's no way. And Parcells had to convince Lawrence Taylor, Pepper Johnson, some of the best players the Giants have ever seen on defense, that this guy knew what he was doing. And they said once they bought in and they realized how much effort he put into it, they're like, how could you not?
Yeah.
So it's pretty obviously.
And that was a 30 for 30?
Yeah. Two successful coaches, but different people as human beings.
By the way, cocksure?
No. Yep.
Arrogantly confident, which is a perfect description of what you have to be to get to Tom Brady's level. And I mean...
Or Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the other interesting thing was everybody was saying because he was... They were trying to figure out who was going to wear 12. And Godwin, I think, is the one that said, look, we'll work it out. I'm not worried about it. And they thought that Brady had... There was rumors out there about Brady coming to the Bucs with all these different demands. Like, you have to allow me to call the plays and be a part of the entire playbook along with... not only Bruce Arians, but the old guy that used to be with Peyton Manning, that's their quarterback's coach and all those different guys. And basically, they set the record straight and said, Tom Brady's list of demands was a long list, but it had nothing to do with anything you guys are throwing out there. The one thing that he wanted the phone number of every one of his new teammates so that could call and touch base with them personally. And other than that, he didn't want it. And that lends you to believe that you're kind of Team Brady more than Team Belichick because it shows he's got a heart. And he wants to make a connection with his new team.
Yeah, it's interesting because you wonder, you know, who was the real jerk in that duo?
But you talk.
I mean, they could both be jerks, but one probably more than the other.
Yeah, because, the other thing that lends itself to thinking Brady was the better of the two guys is when you hear all these stories from the different new free agents or rookies when they got to New England, they said before they could even be in awe, they'd see Brady, they were in awe. They didn't know if they should go talk to him or not, or if he was the kind of guy you don't talk to. And he'd walk up and go, hi, I'm Tom. Shook it and shake hands with him and then say, hey, I'm here, whatever you need, right off the jump. And you're like, that seems like he's a pretty good dude.
I hear a lot of good things about Bill Belichick in his personal life. Like you hear about how charitable he is and how he gives back in his community and stuff like that. So I don't know. You have to separate the men off the field and their characteristics versus the men on the field and their characteristics as well. Because you may be a big jerk when it comes to your job, but then in your personal life, you may have a heart of gold, and you're never going to get credit like you should for that. And what I thought about this when we were talking about it. The interesting dynamic is there's always the discussions. Well, who's really responsible for all those Super Bowls? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? And we won't find out until they separate. Here's the disadvantage of that is, as coaches get older, they can still coach.
Sure,
Brady's going to get older.
Maybe 2 years left.
Yeah, and we don't even know if he's going to be in his prime or even good at this point, so it's really not fair. We'll never know the answer because it's too late to compare them and say, oh, look, Brady sucks. That was definitely Belichick. He's also 43, 44 years old.
His window's closing as we speak. The other thing you mentioned, the only thing that's ever humanized Bill Belichick, the NFL Network did a two-parter on Belichick away from football, mm-hmm. On the boat with his wife. Yep. And that was the first time in my life I actually sat back and said, wow, he's actually a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. We'll put 30 minutes on the clock when we come back as we remember Kenny Rogers and roll through the final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man.
One day while he was... ESPN 97.5. Thank you.
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, usually. Nick on the producer's schedule now during these crazy times, so we're welcoming in our friend Andrew. Andrew, you said that the last time you did anything with one of The Usual Suspect shows was 2017?
Late 2017. Okay. I had podcasts in my folder for The Usual Suspects. I think there was probably a couple from 2018. I may have just cleaned it up and deleted them at some point. But the last ones that were in my folder were from late 2017.
Wow. Time flies, huh?
I didn't even realize we were doing shows in 2017.
Yeah. We had our three-year anniversary.
It just seems
Super Bowl
like that was a long time ago. Longer than 3 years. Yes, it does feel that way.
What are you trying to say, Joel?
No, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying when you said that, I'm being honest with you. No, I'm just going to be living apart from you for a while if we do this correctly starting tomorrow.
The separation could be the best thing to happen to us.
You ain't going
to
get any argument out of me. The other thing, did you realize, I've guess you noticed this or not, but one of the things, how we did this when we had the last natural disaster. But my God, everybody has someone doing sign language, and the signers are all so animated. Yeah, the facial expressions. Yeah, but the facial expressions are out of control.
You just made me think of a sketch idea.
Okay.
They should have sign language people in porn. How great would that be?
I can't. It's too.
I mean, I know you have the words, but it'd be better just sign it.
Boy, based on some of the faces they make, I mean, between
I might have to make this sketch while I'm on lockdown.
Between the mayor's guy, and then I think Lena Hidalgo uses a female that looked like she was really pissed off. They woke her up this morning for the 9:30 press conference.
You ain't right.
And the faces they make, they're signing whatever everybody that has to read the sign language, but the faces they're making are like, I'm going to get this to one more. Take this one too. It's just, and wow, they get into it.
They do. They really do.
It's crazy. So I thought I'd throw that out there. Pay attention to some other things besides a press conference, because we are kind of anxiously awaiting what could be the second Lena Hidalgo press conference in a day.
What time is it coming
day.
On? Four?
I think it's right around now might be regathering the press.
Andrew, what are you guys doing? I mean, like, you know, because we talked about the close of our show and how that we have specific things we do. Like on Fridays, we have the comedians of the week, so we run clips at certain times. Are you guys sharing all that info? Because every show has its own things.
Yeah, that's the goal. The goal is to make the show sound as close to what they normally would, regardless of who the producer is.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all shared sort of cheat sheets, essentially, onto how to run each show.
Oh, okay.
So Nick's got a little cheat sheet right over here. You might be able to see the title, Usual Suspects, on the top, and it's got instructions for all the producers.
Oh, very cool. That's good. So, yeah, because, the Blitz has certain songs at certain times.
Oh, yes.
They have a very particular...
No.
We're pretty... Yeah, they're very diva-ish. We're very laid back. Joel's a diva, but I'm not.
Yeah, you can hear that daily. Jeez.
Charlie is the biggest diva on this station.
I don't know on this station.
No, I don't know.
But...
Does he have any demands? What does his sheet look like? Who's got the shortest list of requirements for their show? The Bench, Charlie, us, or the Blitz? Who's got the shortest?
I think it's Charlie.
Has the shortest list of things required?
Because he does it all for you on a daily basis. He tells you what bumper music to play. He tells you what audio to play.
He tells you what music he wants to play?
Every day.
Really?
When he's thinking about coming into a segment about the NBA, he plays the CBS on the NBA on CBS theme music and then the NBA on NBC theme music.
He just puts in those demands,
he scripts it all out, yep.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'd like that. I know Nick would hate us if we did that.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Yeah, we start bossing Nick around. He's not going to be happy.
No, there's no like...
So Charlie has the least list of staples, but he's more demanding because he does it every day.
Yeah, but you know what? We're only working with them once a day, so.
So who's got the longest list of things they require per show?
Soccer Matters.
What? Really?
Stop.
I've got like three pages typed up in there.
No way.
Swear.
Oh, my God. So not. I would have thought it was the Blitz.
The Blitz is probably more difficult to run, but in terms of all the little stuff that you have to do before the show and other things like that, it's Soccer Matters 100%.
Really?
Is that from sound bites and stuff and all that?
Yeah. But, I mean, look, since there's no sports being played, the amount of sound you have to gather for it, not too much.
Not too much.
I think I've told you this
before. Just get
it
all from, like, EA Sports, FIFA 2020?
No? I mean, yeah, if you want.
Okay. I mean, there's passion that we all have for sports and different sports individually. No one has the passion for one single sport, I don't think, that I've ever seen than what Glenn Davis has. And I think I've told you guys this before, but Glenn was my neighbor in Midtown. He found my townhouse for me and encouraged me that I had to buy it before it got out of hand and prices went up and everything like that. So we would go running probably four nights a week after work. I guarantee you it was my challenge. I could go, we'd start, obviously you talk when you're running. And my goal was, could I keep him on a topic that wasn't soccer related for more than 5 minutes? I could talk about Putin. I could talk. It doesn't matter, because no matter what I talked about, within three sentences, we were back to soccer.
Really?
Oh, my goodness, that man.
He could bring
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, everything back to the beautiful game like nobody's business.
Nice.
He is, and that's why he's so good at what he does. I mean, it's a shame that he's not in an environment to where NFL, NBA, and MLB popularity is the same for soccer, because that dude, if he was overseas, he would be killing it on soccer.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think that's part of the drive and the passion is his love. I mean, everybody loves a particular, you love basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But because basketball is so mainstream, you don't have to fight for its respect and credibility like Glenn Davis does fight for soccer, for its respect and credibility, and being a champion of that game. You don't have to go out and champion basketball because they consider it one of the big three. That's how much disrespect soccer gets and hockey gets, is that everyone talks about the big three, but they don't mention the millions and billions of fans that soccer – I don't know if it's billions, but soccer gets a lot of fans worldwide. It's just, it doesn't happen to get the same respect here. So I think that's part of why he does it, is that's his drive. That's his motivation to do it.
And the other thing about Glenn that I really like is, it's one thing to be passionate about the sport to want to talk about it, but he wants it to be a grassroots thing. He wants to take care of kids. He donates to the hospitals, the soccer balls and everything like that. And he makes sure that it's not just about him wanting to talk about the highest level of the sport. He takes it from start to finish in every different avenue to build everything about soccer, which I really respect him for more than anything else, and I respect him for a lot. But he does all of that. But I have a buddy of mine that won the national championship at UConn that said from little on, his club coach was Glenn Davis.
Really?
And that he still to this day listens to Soccer Matters and keeps in contact with Glenn for all Glenn did for him along the way, which I thought was really cool.
There's I can't think of a person, I mean, I'm sure there is, but that I've ever watched, read, listened to, talked to, or whatever, that's more knowledgeable about the sport than him.
Agreed.
And now I'm sure that there is somebody around the world that knows as much or more than Glenn Davis. But the crazy thing is I would put him and his knowledge of the sport, both locally and internationally, up against anyone in North America. Because I'm sure there's a Glenn Davis in some other market somewhere.
Sure.
But the fact that he does games for ESPN, you know, big games, and he does games for the Dynamo, and he does what he does here, and it's amazing that he's like, I can't even think of someone that I would, you know, would compare him to.
But think about his guest list.
Because he's so unique
Andrew
in what he does.
This. I mean, the biggest compliment you can give him to back up what you're saying is his guest list could be Lexi Lawler. It could be someone that does ESPN's games. It could be someone from Man U. It could be someone from the Dynamo. But pretty much everybody that he asks is going to do Soccer Matters.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they know his heart's in the right spot and how passionate he is about the sport and building it and being a part of it. That's why I give him so much credit. And I do also, and I won't say who it was, and I think it's because it's also someone that you love. But one time they were doing their radio show and they poo-pooed on soccer a little bit, and he called in under a fake name.
You told me the story. Yeah,
and like the first couple of things he said, you kind of got the inkling it was someone named Mike. But when the pushback came, the Glenn Davis New Yorker came out in a hurry, and it was like he didn't even care at that point if he was ratted himself out. He was just going to make sure soccer didn't take a hit for that.
I've been known to make jokes about soccer once or twice, and then whenever I run into Glenn, I'm like, oh, I hope he didn't hear. It was just a joke. Please don't murder me, Glenn Davis. Please don't murder me.
He knows people.
I know.
I think he would kill if it would benefit the sport of soccer.
It's like, possible.
I think it's completely possible.
Very true, right? All right. We got one segment to go in the show. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. In my ear.
In my eye. This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
From the should have been Academy Award winning or nominated film Six Pack, Love Will Turn You Around by one Kenny Rogers.
I do remember the song, though. I had forgot about this.
And by the way, I'm joining on the Barry bandwagon.
That's right.
Lexi Lawless Lawler, who obviously I don't know soccer like that, and I don't honestly care. The point was about Glenn Davis.
Yeah.
Not the redheaded former U.S. soccer guy that's now an announcer. Get over yourself.
There's nothing better than a bunch of idiots correcting you on the text line. It's like that's all they live for. They're what just like, spelling? Oh, my God, please make a mistake. Please make a mistake so I can correct you.
Especially your
you
spelling.
You understand we don't care. Yeah. I mean,
you got the gist of it. You knew who I was talking about.
God, I hope you get corrected like that at your job, whoever you are. Seriously, I hope people just correct you nonstop.
Yeah, just, I mean, obviously you have a lot of time on your hands right now, but don't take it out on us. The worst kept secret in the NFL is out.
Oh?
The Rams have officially debuted their new uniforms.
Uh-huh.
Now, we had said when the draft hat was leaked 2 weeks ago that it was awful. The Rams have come back and said, I'm sure it'll be a surprise. It's going to be a change, but a lot of things are, and I think it's a change that our fans will come to know and love over time. Kind of like the roster in the next 3 years after they got rid of all their good players. But in response to that hat that got leaked out, it basically says that they were caught off guard by the leak. They turned down that design and that cap multiple times and were ultimately disappointed the specialty hat was the first piece of rebranded merchandise seen by fans. So now they've come through with more of the Rams colors, but it's the same logo you and I have seen. So essentially the LA in white and the Rams horn in yellow that kind of isn't encompassed in the LA, it's still not good.
No, it's not good at all.
Rams Royal is that blue.
It's not a good logo. It looks like they
could have done better, and it's Los Angeles. You would think
you had plenty of designers.
Now this logo's not bad. This is kind of like the Texans logo meets the Rams. They also have instead of the Bulls head, they have a Rams head that will be used and incorporated in their uniforms. You could see that becoming more and more a part of
it. I think I like the other one better than that one.
I like this one better.
Do you?
Yeah.
That one looks weird. Like if
How
I was
do you feel
right
about a bull's head with a star that's kind of red, white, and blue?
Hate it.
That's exactly what I mean.
If I was high, that logo would be weirding me out.
But that's the Milwaukee Bucks, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
A lot of sports teams, that's what they're going for, that kind of somewhat realistic-looking cartoon, if that makes sense. That looks like a mean Ram. Okay. Been there, done that. Change it up. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I'm laughing at you.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's just you have so many opportunities. If someone said, hey, design the logo, uniforms, colors for a professional sports team, most graphic artists that have any ambition at all would be like, oh my God, I'm going to have fun with this.
Yeah,
I'm really going to kill it. And instead,
that one looked
you
like,
see the final product and go, you sure there were another couple drawings?
The one where it's the LA and then the spiral looks like a clip art. Actually, the second one you showed looks more like a clip art. The first one looks like a logo from like a football video game that didn't get licensed through the NFL. So they just created an LA team and then they just tried to make it look like, no, that's not a Ram. That's the Sun or something like that. They both are not great.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, everybody's like hoping that it takes off. Well, they're hoping their team takes off with all the guys they've lost, too.
Now, yeah.
Obviously, a lot of times when teams create a new logo scheme and colors, it's because they're trying to hide the fact that they're going to be really bad.
Yeah. Fact. Somebody's texting and they've sent this text several times now. Does a producer have the coronavirus? That's why the schedule has changed. No, we're just being cautious.
Yep.
Gal Media is trying to be good corporate and good citizens and just making sure that they limit the exposure to everybody that works here as it should be. So, no. And if they did, I wouldn't tell you. That'd be up to them to tell you. But no, as far as I know, nobody here has it. We're just trying to do our part to socially distance ourselves. And, I mean, you've seen it on the news. A lot of people stay, you know, they're staying home and doing the news. So there's no difference there. So Charlie will be in studio. All the rest of the shows will be separated and doing it from our homes. Uh-huh. But the producers do have to, there does have to be someone here running the board, but they're in a room by themselves. No one else here. So literally, other than producers and maybe Michael Carroll, who stays in his room by himself anyways, he social distanced himself years ago. There's going to be nobody here. So that's why.
I had some real concerns about Charlie going forward just because of the fact when he tried to leave today, his laptop from 1983 fell out of his backpack. Bro, and I literally thought the floor was dented.
Bro, that laptop it's bigger than him.
First of all, I wasn't worried if it broke. I was worried if the floor was okay. When it hit, it sounded like that muscle head at the gym that was trying to do too much weight but didn't put the collars on the ends, and like a plate fell off and slammed on, or a barbell was dropped on the floor. It hit, and we both looked like, what the hell was that? And yeah, it's just my laptop. It'll be fine. Picked it up, threw it back in the backpack. I was like, wow, that laptop is not only indestructible, it weighs a ton.
It was very loud. It did. You're right. It did sound like somebody that just busted out a set and just dropped the barbells on the floor.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So before we get out of here.
Yep.
You got anything you want to that popped up?
I do not. No. Just some idiocy on Twitter. But other than that.
Yeah. A couple of just tidbits and notes. Charles Barkley got his test. I don't know why it took so long, but Barkley got his test back. They were negative.
Why was he tested again? Just because of his exposure to some of the players?
Because he had been traveling with TNT and said while traveling, he started to feel under the weather. He started to develop some of the symptoms. He was concerned about it. Now the tests are back negative, so good news there. From the NFL, as we always normally track the free agency, not a ton of moves over the weekend, but one of the ones that stood out, Emmanuel Sanders, the wide receiver that started with the Broncos, really was a big part of what the Niners did with that late push at the end of the year, has signed a 2-year deal with the Saints to go opposite of Michael Thomas and give Drew Brees another weapon. I think that's a pretty big move.
That is a good move.
Yeah. I think that they have quietly reloaded on weapons. You know, it was before where you had Thunder and Lightning with Mark Ingram and Kamara in the backfield. But now to give Drew Brees an alternative to Michael Thomas on the other side and a guy that can get open as often as Emmanuel Sanders does,
yeah,
I think that's a pretty big deal.
I like it.
You know, they've done some things. Adding Jenkins back as
just
a safety.
Just has to stay healthy, has to be able to play.
They're in go for it mode.
Yeah.
They definitely, for all the teams that are getting credit for being Super Bowl contenders, the fact that the Saints have added who they've added quietly, they're going to be there. They're going for it.
Going to be a scary team.
Yeah.
Especially if they get some defense. That's always the thing with the Saints, you feel like. You feel like they're going to score.
And their D-line's good.
Especially
so the
with
fact
Brees
that you get a guy like a very good veteran safety like Malcolm Jenkins can only help that team.
Yep.
And I think that that's something that Sean Payton will like as they get ready for the season. But keep an eye on the Saints. They are going to be good. Yes, Clarence, I said it. So,
yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to try this tomorrow.
It's going to be interesting. I'm wondering, we didn't ask, but if one of us drops or something happens, does the other one just do the show solo?
I guess.
Well.
Well, and the thing is.
Good luck tomorrow, buddy.
Here's the other thing. With the traffic right now, I'm only about 15 to 17 minutes away. I could come up here. AD could jerry-rig my iPad. And in the meantime, I'm in the studio and doing whatever. So
I've always wanted to do a solo show.
Well, then take tomorrow. Fine.
I'm just joking.
Give it a shot tomorrow.
I don't want to do it. The one time I did do it, it was awful. No, thank you.
It would be laryngitis Wednesday.
Laryngitis laminac.
Yeah, on Wednesday. All right, we appreciate you guys being suspects. Be safe out there. Be healthy. Do the right thing. Listen to ESPN 97.5. We'll get you through the tough times with some entertainment, and hopefully we get through this sooner rather than later. Andrew, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. For Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.